Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel once more. I do intend to get up a camera quite soon, by the way. This video is about Ukrainian advances against Russia, Russian advances against the Ukrainians. The Russians are moving forward millimetrically in East Ukraine and also in Zaporizhia, in southern Ukraine. And they've been using this nuclear power plant in Zaporizhia, Europe's biggest, as a weapons dump for months, which is an extremely dangerous thing to do and an illegal thing to do, because if anything hits it, a missile, the whole thing could go up sky high. It'd be Chernobyl all over again, which is why the Russians are doing it, think the Ukrainians won't dare fire at things. They can safely store things there. Obviously, it's not that safe, because if one of the Russians' missiles goes off prematurely, if a shell explodes, if there's any explosion in that ammo dump, it goes sky high, it kills all the Russian soldiers around there. But it releases all this radioactivity in the center of Ukraine. And if things are going really bad for Russia, Russia might, of course, blow it up and blame the victims, as they always do, as they blame Ukrainian civilians for their own murder in Bucha, as they blame Syrian civilians for their own murder with chemical weapons in Syria on numerous occasions, and so forth. As they blame Sergei Magnitsky for the very crime that he exposed. So this is the topsy-turvy-turvydom of Putinism. Anyway, so the Russians there attacking near Blahodatne, and they took another village in eastern Donetsk the other day. So Wagner Group is very involved in this. Wagner private military company, the mercenaries. Now, mercenaries are illegal under Russian law, but Wagner Group has existed openly since 2014, run by Yevgeny Prigozhin, who's also from St. Petersburg, like Putin, Putin's chef, as he's known. And for 8 years, he vehemently denied any connection with Wagner Group. This is Yevgeny Prigozhin. And indeed, he hired solicitors and barristers in London to sue anybody in the British press with the temerity to tell the truth. And then last year, Prigozhin boasted, yeah, he's always been in charge of Wagner. So the Russian government has not enforced its own law. It's extremely harsh and punitive for people against minor infractions of the law, but then rampantly criminous itself. So then Wagner Group has had the temerity to register itself recently in St. Petersburg as a company, a private stock company, I believe, and saying that they're into hiring of airplanes and vehicles. Well, that bit is true, but there are also things they do as well, such as fighting in the Central African Republic, Mozambique, Mali, Libya, Syria, Ukraine, wherever else. But they're no longer the elite force they used to be. Used to have had at least 10 years in the military, usually the Russian army, Belarusian army, occasionally Serbian army, but then they're not so fussy. They'll take people with no military experience or with less military experience, people of other nationalities, Kyrgyz people, Tajiks, and so on, recruiting from prisons. And obviously, when they let jailbirds out, not caring what felony they're in for, murder, rape, kidnapping, bank robbery, torture, and then give them a rifle in Ukraine in enemy territory and let them loose, obviously they're unsurprised that these jailbirds commit the same crimes in Ukraine that they did in Russia, knowing they've got complete impunity. The Ukrainian general staff says that they claim to be holding Wagner off near Blahodatne. Wagner is obviously becoming sort of a rival to the army and enriching. Prigozhin is already a very wealthy man who's a real hawk. So Putin probably sort of likes this rivalry for the army and the Wagner private military company vying to outdo each other. Wagner supposedly comes from the call sign of Yudkin, who was one of the early officers in it. So remember that Russia claims the whole of Donetsk region as an integral part of Russia. Really, Bakhmut is the main prize for Russia, even though Bakhmut is not of great strategic significance. Their railway lines and their roads, you can easily blow those up. You can blow up the tunnels and bridges around it. So it's not particularly useful, but they feel they had to have a victory, because when they took, was it Soledar? That was their first gain for 6 months. And, you know, they've been trying to get this a place of Bakhmut for ages. Seems like a big pincer movement is coming, but they're moving forward at a snail's pace. So the Ukrainians are retreating in good order. But the trouble is, retreat can turn into rout. You don't know when that's going to happen. So far, it doesn't look likely. And even Prigozhin has been obliged to laud the stubborn resistance of the Ukrainians, who are fighting ferociously. He said building defensive line after defensive line, we have to fight house by house. And their draftees, with minimal training, the Russians are just sending forward as cannon fodder. And that draws the Ukrainian fire. The more professional Russian soldiers see where the Ukrainian positions are, then can try and take them out like that. So Russia obviously doesn't really care about the casualties. Remember, they've got a population 3.5 times larger than that of Ukraine. So they're using their numerical superiority. but wow, it seems like the film Zulu, counting their guns by getting people to go there, just get killed. But it shows there's a bit of desperation for the Russians to gain serious ground before the Western tanks arrive, because they're going to take at least several weeks for these Ukrainian tank crews and mechanics to be trained on them. And so once those come in significant numbers, that's going to be a real headache for Russia. Now, Ukraine had about 850 tanks at the beginning of the war, about half of those being knocked out. And now, admittedly, the Ukrainians have actually been able to capture some Russian tanks, but nevertheless, they've got rather fewer than 850 tanks, which they did at the beginning. Obviously, the Russians have lost at least a couple of thousand tanks, but they've been able to manufacture some, maybe not quite at the same rate. But the Western tanks, I'm told, a Leopard 2 or an Abrams M1, or as a British one, the Challenger 2, any of these ones, I'm told, is worth several of its Russian rivals. In terms of its maneuverability, its speed, the thickness of its armor, the range, the accuracy of its gun, its communication systems, its ability to fight at night with thermal imaging. Is there anything else? Maybe even the terrain it can go over. I mean, some Russian tanks can even go underwater, but I think not that deep. They have to go in the riverbed. They don't float. The obviously disadvantage of the Western tanks is their gas guzzlers. They're very heavy. They would break some bridges. And they're tricky to repair. They take longer to learn how to use, because some of the Western technology is very simple, like those Javelin man portable anti-tank missile systems, which only need a few hours to train somebody on. Perhaps I should say person portable in these gender inclusive times. It doesn't look like the Russians are going to make an incredible breakthrough. But you know, we got to remind ourselves that the fighting is going on, and I don't just mean a fusillade or a salvos of rockets. That's actually really slowed down because the Russians have run out of them. Almost, the thing is, it clearly failed. It didn't break Ukrainian civilian morale. And horrific though this is, by contrary, civilians, the Russians may have actually saved the Ukrainian military. If they'd fired all those rockets and missiles only at the Ukrainian military, then that would have made the difference, perhaps. But by firing them at civilian infrastructure, and that was actually taking the heat off the Ukrainian military. So there's going to be a big spring draft. Remember, that mobilization order was way back in September. One of the clauses was secret, has still not been published. What does it say? Does it extend the draft age up to 50? Does it allow for the drafting of women? We don't actually know. Dual citizens, Kyrgyz, Russian citizens, people of dual nationality like Tajik and Russian, some of those have been drafted in Russia and refuse to leave the countries they weren't previously doing, which smacks of desperation. I don't know if Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan have tacitly agreed to this, but also what are they going to do? They're two relatively poverty-stricken former Soviet republics in Central Asia, and they're very dependent on remittances from their citizens who are guest workers in Russia. That's up to 20% of their economy. So they dare not poke the bear. And what would they do? How would they resist if Russia said no to that? If Russia cancels all work visas for those countries, those already poor countries would just collapse. They're suffering badly. So Russia's got a high prison population, almost 1 million people in prison. So they've already drawn those tens of thousands of prisoners released because they're joining Wagner Group. They get more of those. There's some people just so unsuitable, just decrepit or so moronic or whatever, so untrustworthy. Even the Russians wouldn't put a weapon in the hands of such men. Calling up women, Prigozhin's been saying we'll get women out of prison as well. So we'll see how much further they go. There'll be a big spring draft, and Russia's already looking into preventing people leaving by road, men of military age. That's leaked out. Not by plane, interestingly enough, but Russian aviation is another story. It's increasingly unsafe for the lack of spare parts. They're breaking their own regulations to let planes fly which aren't airworthy. They've had several air accidents already in 2023. None of these have been catastrophic. you know, just two or three people killed in each case. I know that's bad. We don't want anyone, any passenger killed, but it's a matter of time, right? This is an accident waiting to happen. Eventually, the plane's going to drop out of the sky and hundreds of passengers get killed. When that happens, mark my words, they'll blame the Ukrainians. They'll say it was an act of terrorism rather than face up to the fact that the Russian government has been breaking its own law again and endangering civilian passenger safety. Right. Thank you so much for watching my channel. Goodbye.